Preston and Steve Fun Size Podcast.
Our next guest is going to be in Philly on Saturday. She'll be performing at the Miriam Theater. Should be awesome. She's one of the funniest people on television.
I love her.
And the tickets are available for the show at KimmelCenter.org. It is called An Evening with Leslie Jones. Ladies and gentlemen, Leslie Jones. Hey, Leslie.
Hey, how y'all doing? What's up, Philly? Hey,
we are doing great this morning. You listen, I knew you would come out of the gate just excited and with an up personality like that. Are you ever not excited?
Yeah.
Many times.
Man, this car would crash into a wall if I didn't park sometimes.
Right. You know... Yeah, Leslie, I first became aware of you, obviously, on SNL, and it seemed to me... Now, I want to get the chronology right. Were you writing for SNL first, and then you started to make appearances on Weekend Update, or was the plan always to have you one of the cast members?
Well, I came out and auditioned with 12 other ladies, and they picked three of us. They picked me, LaKendra, and Amber. Amber went and wrote for Seth, and they kept me and LaKendra as writers, and they made Sashir the cast member.
Right.
So I wrote for like half the season, and you know, when he hired me, I told him, I was like, I'm not a writer. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what this is, you know, but you know, I'm not a writer. I'm a performer. And he was like, yeah, I know that. He's like, but I don't know what exactly to do with you yet. So just come out and learn the system and we'll see how you fit into it. Because, when I went into it, I was like a professional comedian. So I was very wild, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And that sort of took off on Update, because you came out, you'd sort of really come out and be very vivacious and have a lot of energy and it seemed to catch on. And I was wondering if at that point they said, okay, we got to make you a regular cast member. So the plan was never really to have you in the background, to always have you in the forefront. But
I think that always they didn't really know exactly what capacity that they was going to have me at. It's always like that with me, because they never, how can I explain it? People never expect to get what they get from me. And then when they get it, it's like, I think I was like really not, I was telling them, I was like, hey, I'm about to leave because I'm not a writer. I'm not doing good at writing these sketches. They're not hitting the table. No one's picking them. I was like, because I'm not a writer. And they called me in the office. Steve Higgins called me in the office, and he was like, we want you to do an update. And they liked two of my jokes. I had two jokes that they really liked. And they was like, we want you to do an update on the texting. And I had a slave joke. And I was like, well, those are two different jokes. They're two different jokes. So you got to pick one or the other. And I knew they wanted me to do the slave joke. They just didn't want to say it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, so you want me to do a slave joke? And they was like, yeah, we kind of want you to do that. So we rewrote it. Well, it's so crazy. It's a joke. It's a joke I've been doing 7 years. So when you write a joke as an update, you're writing with other people. So it's kind of hard sometimes, because you're writing with other people who have a different voice than you.
Yeah.
So sometimes they'll throw their jokes in and it's not your update anymore. So when they wrote the update and we got to the table to read it, I just looked at Che and I was like, I don't want to do this. This is not funny. This is not my update. And Che stopped the whole meeting, him and Brian Tucker. And they was like, we're going into this room and we're going to write this joke word for word. And that's exactly how I did it on SNL.
I remember that whole thing clearly. And it sort of blew up. And then you were off and running and everyone wanted to see more of you. So do you remember that as sort of a turning point for you?
It was a turning point, but SNL still didn't make me a cast member until, I think, like I said, the people didn't expect what they expected from me.
Yeah, so yeah.
The update was excellent, so they didn't offer me a cast member. They just offered me six more updates. So I was like, oh, okay, well, we're going to play that game. Okay. Okay, so I was like, I had to let them know that, hey, just because I'm working for you. That I'm also a comedian, so that means I'm a hustler. I've been a comedian since '87.
Right.
So I'm a hustler. I'm a hustler too. So I was like, okay. So if I'm only doing updates for y'all, then that means I can work other places. So HBO at the time wanted me. Two Broke Girls wanted me. So I was going to do all of that. What happened was Lauren just called me in his office like, no, we just gonna make you a cast member. You're not about to go win the Super Bowl somewhere else.
That's very cool because I mean there's no experience like it, and everyone's talked about it, and we're all perpetually fascinated by SNL because if you talk about the legendary talent that's gone through it, but there's also it is the ultimate. It has to be in the comedic world the ultimate trial by fire, correct?
It's the hardest thing that I've ever done in my life. I don't think anything else will be ever harder than SNL.
And are you currently working on, because the next season doesn't start till September. I would love it if it started on your birthday and they made the whole, and you made the whole thing about your birthday. That would be amazing. But are you currently like working on things that will air next season?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm working on my own stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and then the season starts, I think, around like October or something like that.
I you know, listen, I'm 44 years old. You know, Saturday Night Live started just right before I was born. I've wanted to get there so badly just for a taping of it. And
it's an amazing thing.
It almost seems like it's impossible to get into. Are there any secrets or any ways to buy your way in or anything like that?
That's hilarious. That's so funny. People always ask me that. It's if you know somebody there, you can get a ticket. I mean, it's really about who you know. But if you just don't know nobody, they always have a ticket lottery.
Yeah.
A lot of people come out and wait on the day of the show to see if you can get picked. Because it's like, if you know somebody, you can get in there because there's two shows.
Yeah.
There's a dress and a live. So we need two audiences. But, I didn't know how hard it was to get tickets. I was like, no, we can't even get in there.
Well, Leslie, I'm really glad and thankful that you came on with us this morning because I'm actually a little surprised that you're not on your way to the parade for the Women's Cup team.
You know what? That's actually really funny. I was supposed to be in the parade today.
You're a huge fan, and I loved your support of the team on social media.
I'm so sad. I have to miss it because I have to go for a screening. Angry Birds, you know, Angry Birds coming out.
Yeah.
I have to go screen that, and then I have to go do another meeting, and I'm like, dang, why didn't y'all just like, oh, I would have loved to have been there.
It's so funny because you took off with your constant running commentary for the Olympics. That was such a side thing that really popped for you. Did you get any long term offers from like ESPN or you played college basketball, correct?
Yes, I did. Yeah, the 2020 Olympics is going to be off the chain.
Yeah,
oh, cool. Because you're so good at it.
Trust. Yeah. But you know, that's so weird that people love the weird that I do. I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's all right. We probably did. Yeah.
Crap. The weird crap you do.
But the weird stuff that I do, and the Olympics is always through my whole, like, as long as I've been alive, has been one of the greatest events in my life. And I could not believe no one was excited about the Olympics when they came. I was looking at everyone, everybody's like, yeah. So I'm like, are you crazy? I was like, oh, that's changing. Everybody that I know will be into the Olympics. So,
yeah. Well, any plans to? I mean, I don't know. Your schedule's probably too oppressive, but I mean, what it is? It Japan is the.
It's in Tokyo this year.
Yeah. Are you? Any plans to get over there, or do you even have option?
Oh yeah, it's gonna be real fun.
All right, real fun.
Okay. All right. Leslie, another thing you were fired up about was Game of Thrones. Obviously, I was a fanatic about that, too. And I was just reading a story about yesterday. George R.R. Martin started to reveal a little bit about what's going to happen in the prequel show that's going to take place 5,000 years before the story we just saw. You going to be on board for that as well?
Man, I don't know, man. I mean, do we know if George is finished writing that? You know what
I'm saying? No, he's not.
See, that's what I'm saying. I'm just trying to go into those theories that's uncertain.
Right.
Like, you know, then you have to guess. I mean, in you know what? I would kind of be interested in that just to find out how, you know, the Mad King was. But to me, the show showed it. I mean, yeah. the way Danny went crazy at the end, I can imagine that's how the Mad King went crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
I think
tied in with it. Yeah,
I agree with you though about these things, and like you know, there's so much good stuff on, and I know that you have like a binge mentality as well, and something comes out, you just want to eat it all up. But if a show comes on and it doesn't hook me within the first two episodes,
right.
I'm gone because there's too much out there that's calling for me, and I don't.
Exactly.
And the bitch is when you get into something and you're loving it, and then they stop producing it.
Yeah, oh my God, that's so weird. And you know what's so funny? The things that people ask me to commentate, they'd be like, oh, we need you to comment. There's a lot of things I don't commentate because, you know, the way the world is now, you can't say certain things.
Yeah, we know.
Subjects, it's like, okay, I'm not going to, like, they want me to live tweet Outlander, but Outlander is, like, brutal, son. Like, I'm like, yo, I don't... It's too brutal, like, and Euphoria, too brutal, like, they're so real. These are shows that I keep to my, like, I don't live tweet SVU unless Olivia does something totally incredible. You know
what I'm saying? Like, what would you hope they would ask you? What haven't they asked you to do commentary for yet that you would hope they would ask you to do commentary for? What's your number one show right now?
Oh, I don't have a number one show. Yeah. It just depends on what part of the season it is.
I got you.
I love Handmaid's Tale, but oh, that's another one that, man, you know, you're just taking a risk.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it's heavy.
A real risk by you know, live tweeting that. But like, I was watching Sabrina, the Teenage Witch.
That's really good. That's a really good show.
It's so good, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the Umbrella Academy.
Umbrella Academy.
Love that.
So good.
So what about Stranger Things?
Yeah, that's hilarious. I actually went in to live tweet Stranger Things, and I could not stand it. It was the first thing I said when I saw Stranger Things was, where are y'all parents? Could not get into Stranger Things.
Yeah, no, I love it, but I've heard that complaint before. Some people who weren't like fans of like the 80s, the movies where the kids were always doing all the stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But I hear you. So it's cool. I have to ask you because we played audio from a skit on SNL that just cracked us up, where you got into sort of a who is a bigger Weezer fan battle.
Oh yeah,
hilarious.
It was hilarious. Do you in fact like the music of Weezer or no?
That's, you know, sometimes they ask me to do things that is the weirdest thing. And I'm going to tell you, I have absolutely no f***ing idea.
Oh, please. No!
No, darn
idea.
Let me tell you, and this is real talk. When we were rehearsing that, me and Matt Dillon, we were the only one who knew nothing. Absolutely nothing. Of Weezer's music. Wow. Everybody at that table, Cecily, Keenan, Beck, Heidi, everybody knew all they songs, the whole history. Me and Damon was looking at each other like, how are we going to play this? and Damon was like, it's even better that we don't know. So that's why it was so funny.
It's a hilarious bit. Yeah, we loved it. So, but that also speaks to what you're saying earlier about not knowing what to expect from you. Because initially, when I was watching the update stuff, I'm like, I didn't know you had that you could effectively portray yourself as a Weezer fanatic.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Now, they asked me to do some fun stuff on there. You know, I'm 51 years old, so it's so crazy that I have a library of stuff to pull from.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you remember the sketch with James Franco spitting blood into my mouth.
Yes, yes.
Okay, that's Lucille Ball. I had to play Lucille Ball on that one because I was going to die. James Franco is he's a nut. He's
yeah.
a psycho. He knew exactly what he was doing because I was getting sick as hell during the rehearsal.
Yeah.
And it's just,
I love watching you board. I know that the longstanding rumor is that Lorne Michaels does not like breaking up in skit, but there's something about when you start to lose it that cracks me up.
Lorne loves that.
It does he? Yeah.
Yeah. Lorne loves that we have fun, and I think and you are right. I think I brought a different type of spirit of it.
Yeah.
Like I think I brought a little bit back of the, you know, the Eddie Murphy time and Chevy Chase time, because when I came in there, they wasn't even laughing at the table read. Like I was screaming the first table read. Everybody kept looking at me like, who is, why is she? I'm like, oh my God, Tina, that is hilarious.
Did we hear correctly that you spent 4th of July on a boat with him, with Keenan?
Yeah, that's my brother from another mother, man. I'm telling you, the first time me and Keenan met, it was like we did not had and never knew each other. It was like instant brotherhood.
He seems like a cool guy.
He is one of the best people in the world.
Is he now currently the longest running cast member?
Yep. Yes, he is.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Wow. Do you see yourself going as long as they'll have you? Because to me, it just seems like, I mean, you're doing a lot of movie stuff, obviously. You talk about Angry Birds and all that stuff. But, you know, is it the kind of thing you can keep and do both? Because, you know, if you enjoy the train and it's not burning you out, why get off it?
You know, that's the question every summer.
Yeah.
Every summer is like, damn, do I want to? Because it's like 100 hours a week, man.
Yeah.
It's not only physically, you know, tiring. It's very mentally tiring, too. And
I'll bet.
And that's by the end of the week, we have to take all that energy and put it into two shows. It's a lot of work. So, yeah, summertime, you really take that time to go, all right, do I want to do this again?
Yeah.
Oh, God. You know?
Well, speaking of shows, we've got an evening with Leslie Jones. You know, since this is you, this has got to be a lot of fun to do since it's just your material.
I don't understand that I'm actually a comedian.
Yeah.
So all this stuff that y'all see me doing on SNL and all that is like whipped cream. When you come see me do comedy, oh, my goodness. Oh, you think I'm silly. Just come see me perform.
You're very funny. Your stuff is great, and your energy is great. So we're looking forward to it.
Excellent. All right. Thank you, Leslie. We appreciate you checking in. Have a good time when you're here in Philly this weekend, and we'll catch up another time, okay?
I definitely will. Thank you so much for having me on.
Anytime, please. Leslie Jones, guys. She's awesome. Great. And tickets are on sale at KimmelCenter.org. You do not want to miss out on that. That's cool, man. She's really nice.
Well, I love also the fact that I love people who are, so she's part of pop culture history herself because of SNL, but loves, you know, pop culture. Loves Game of Thrones. Loves all these shows and, you know, and gets into it. Because that's honestly, when people ask us to sort of thumbnail what the show is about, we're really kind of a pop culture review. Yeah. That's what we are all about.
Agreed.
And you know, so all those references and you know, believe it or not, this morning I was deciding whether or not to put on a BTS t-shirt that someone gave me. So,
you got to wear that.
I'm going to wear it. Yeah, I might wear it to the pool thing tomorrow. Yeah,
I love it.
So it's and that's part of the deal. I love hearing her enthusiasm about that, whether it be the Olympics or whatever. So it's very cool.
Get the whole Preston and Steve show or the Bizarre Files podcast at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.